2025. What the heck? So, you know, if you want to hear this again, all of our episodes are available online at civicmedia.us. Find us wherever you get your podcasts as well. Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We got a couple more segments here with Carlton. I want to kind of finish 2025 and hear more of, you know, the events that you think were really important. Because I do want to hear that. But I want to say, too, we just touched on it. One of the things that I think Democrats need to get better at is figuring out how to be the party of the big tent. Because, you know, I am someone who left the GOP. And so that's always kind of been my thing of there's room at the table for you, you know, and if you had these opinions and thoughts and all of that, and you've changed in some way, we need to make room for that. Now, obviously, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's not going to be a Democrat ever. However, if she is showing, you know, an ounce or two or three of some courage, and it goes that, you know, that she's doing the right thing on these specific things, she's not, you know, that can be acknowledged, and that can be, you know, let's work together on that. Because, I mean, she had a huge platform, and so I think Democrats need to be able to not take advantage of that, but take advantage of that, have conversations, and, you know, see where we can go from there. And I don't think they don't do a really great job at that right now.
I would sit there. I mean, once again, I'm not going to be just the recovering Republican just wagging my finger at the Democrats saying this is how it should always be and this is how you should do it. But I would sit here and say that Ro Khanna, he was one of the leading guys on the petition to get the Epstein files released, along with Republican Thomas Massey, but also Marjorie Taylor Greene, Congresswoman Nancy Mace, and they were willing to stand up to Trump. And Ro Khanna, even though he is a progressive Democrat from Northern California, the Bay Area, he was willing to sit there and say these guys have guts. And that does not That's mean cool. that we're not going to endorse the platform. But I would just say to the Democrats, I mean, there are a host of folks like myself, like Mark, who like live in these key parts of America. I mean, North Carolina, Wisconsin are some of the most key states in the country in terms of both presidential elections, but also elections next fall. That we, like I said, I'll just speak for myself. I mean, I'm still a pro-life gun owner who just generally leans right of center on a lot of the social issues.
You're not a flaming liberal, Carlton.
No. And so I'm sometimes reminded whenever I attend some of these events with Democrats.
You got a Roy Cooper sign in your, you know.
And that's the thing. I tell people it's like it's not that I changed. It's that the Republican Party changed. Yes. And they basically said, I mean, they made sure I didn't have room to be there because I was not going to bend the knee to Trumpism and just sit there and say that things that are patently false were true. But as far as the Democrats go, they just need to be able to sit here and say, as a former Republican, I am not asking you to just adopt a pro-life platform, but I am asking you to sit here and say, we don't need to have pronoun checks. We do not need to sit here and endorse sovereignty claims that they announced at the beginning of these Democrat meetings. Or, I mean, just to sit there and watch, I believe it was Jamie Harrison at the beginning of the year as he was getting ready to hand off the DNC chair. They had to have a platform that was represented by equal numbers of men and women, but also non-binary, LGBTQ+. And just the majority of Americans look at that and are just like, just have the best person that's going to be up there saying the thing that makes the most sense. And that is the foot that you should put forward. And especially we looked at it, even though I might disagree with him on economics, but Zohran Mamdani in New York City, I have got to give him credit in terms of the affordability issue to go from 1% in the polls to beating Cuomo, who was a political dynasty there in New York. And then also just to go in, even though Cuomo was running as an independent, to beat both him and a Republican when you had the president of the United States not only against you, but the political establishment in New York City. That is something that I think that if you can have that for a progressive wing of the party, have some for like the centrist folks who won in Virginia and New Jersey. And you just saw in Virginia, New Jersey, they didn't win by a little. They won by a lot.
Huge,
and they converted areas that were pro-Republican previously.
What are other things that you have on your list of some big 2025 highlights?
I would have to sit here and say, like, one of the worst case predictions I had going into this year, I was worried that we were going to abandon Ukraine. And that blow up in the Oval Office between President Trump and President Zelensky, I thought that the worst case was going to happen at that point, that we were going to cut off Ukraine and leave them to their own, like I said, basically just good luck. But even though Trump just has this weird relationship with Vladimir Putin, the fact of the matter is that we have not abandoned Ukraine. We're still sending arms and supplies to them. We have not abandoned NATO, even though that alliance is strained. That is one thing that I will sit here and say, I am pleasantly surprised at where we are at this point of the year. I would say also just internationally, the fact that we start a trade war with China and then basically we have a higher tariff rate on places like Laos, Vietnam and Cambodia and Canada and Mexico than we do now on China. That's something that is a head scratcher for me, but also something I could not have predicted, but I still think is significant because this tariff story isn't over. Its impact on the economy, but most importantly, our global politics is far from over.
Yeah. Do you think tariffs, you know, is that going to be something that goes into 2026? Do you think, you know, because here's my conspiracy theory, right? Like, our economy's teetering. There's so much uncertainty, all this kind of stuff. The Republicans need a shot in the arm. Let's say, you know, end of July, early August, Donald Trump's like, hey, these tariffs did what they got to do. They're done. And then Republicans can run on the fact that, hey, look at what we're doing. Look at all this.
Well, my thought on it is that the Supreme Court might actually, if they decide to go by the Constitution,
that's
and
true.
Just the powers, if they decided to wipe them away, that would be saving Trump from himself without him having to surrender. And I think that if those were taken off, that would definitely have a stimulative effect to the economy. But I don't know if we're going to have a transformational economy where people are feeling true relief and growth at a level that they can feel comfortable with. And but at the same time, too, we got to remember in 2018, the economy that Barack Obama handed off to Donald Trump and then he goosed with the tax cuts, it was going really good, and the Democrats still won 40-plus House seats and were able to do very well and, I mean, ended the Scott Walker era here in Wisconsin, even though the economy was going great. So I would sit here and say that that is one lifeline that Republicans can hope for next year, but if those tariffs stay in place, then I don't see the economy going to go gangbusters, and that's just going to create that pessimism that definitely, it's what sunk Kamala Harris at the polls last year. It will definitely sink Republicans this coming year.
What else is on your list?
The fact that we could be at war with Venezuela at any time is just something that was once again, that was something too I did not have on my bingo card. I mean, the fact that we have an undeclared war that we are raging in the Caribbean against who? I mean, a bunch of fishermen who are looking to make some extra money. But the fact that we're basically going through this whole drumbeat to achieve regime change in Venezuela without any hope of just, number one, achieving the success or sustaining that success. And then, whatever is going to happen with Ukraine and Russia, that war just continues and does not seem to be any end in sight on that one. And the consequences of that are going to just continue to reverberate for the global economy and just for what our European allies decide to do, whether they trust the United States or not.
Yeah. And, you know, I think Trump said over the weekend that it was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard him say is that Putin wants Ukraine to succeed. It's like, are you freaking kidding me? And then as we're actually recording this right now, I just got a news alert that said that the United States has hit a facility along shore where it's alleged that these drug boats are loading up. So not only are we hitting them in international waters, apparently now we just did a strike on land.
All without any act of Congress. And I guess I would say, too, one thing that just we continue to see is there's a reason that Trump did not want these Epstein files out.
Yes.
Because the more that we just continue to see, they'll say Russia, Russia, Russia. They'll say all these conspiracies about the deep state out to get Trump. But it's just whether there was anything that criminal that Trump did or didn't do, the fact is that the relationship that he had with Jeffrey Epstein was a lot deeper and more significant than he wants to acknowledge and his supporters want to acknowledge. But I think this the the biggest thing at the end of the day is the fact that powerful people seem to be able to get away with anything in this country. And I mean, we see it with Diddy only getting 5 years for prostitution. And it just, there is this sense, and I think it's roiled our politics on both sides of the aisle, whether you don't have to be Bernie Sanders or AOC to say that the billionaire class is getting away, if not with murder, then close to it with some of the actions that are alleged in the Epstein files. And just the fact that the Department of Justice is putting this stuff out there and then accidentally realizing that they didn't redact everything that they wanted to, but just revealing, but once again, more nefarious things than we knew at the beginning of this process. And so that's the story of how many people get named in those and the alleged actions of some of the people that are getting named in those is something that I definitely want to see justice pursued. But with this Justice Department, who knows whenever we'll see that done.
And I think one thing that's interesting is, you know, I've said this before, Trump 1.0, there were people like, you know, Rex Tillerson that he had, who, say what you will about the guy, he was a very principled individual and he was brilliant. And so he had people that put duty and the country ahead of, you know, Trump's ridiculously crazy things that he wants to do. Now you see people like, you know, Pete, you know, Hegseth, you know, trying to, the Department of War, and Pam Bondi, the most politicized Department of Justice ever. You have RFK Jr. that even with measles coming back says, don't vaccinate your children. There's no guardrails to what's going on. And that's what I think has been interesting too in 2025 is to see Trumpism with no checks and balances whatsoever.
And I mean, it has the... like I said, I don't want to say that there's a bright side to a bunch of mendacious morons running this country, but I will say at the same time, the fact that they are morons limits the how effective they can be.
How much damage have they done in 1 year? I mean, like to allies abroad, to confidence in the with the people of the United States. What kind of damage was done in 2025?
Unprecedented, just simply unprecedented. I mean, the fact that we're numb to so much of it, the fact that, once again, the President of the United States and his family lined their pockets with billions of dollars from donors and investors in their crypto scheme that we don't even know. The fact that, I mean, in reference to the Epstein files, you've got this seeming protection ring among people who did the worst possible thing to children. You see people looking to Europe as a leader of moral example, but basically there is no power example in the world aside from China, and nobody wants them running the world. But at the same time, nobody thinks that they can trust the United States. You saw all the efforts that we made to just align ourselves with the democracies of the world have been in 1 year. I mean, they are shaky at best. And well, in some cases, like with Brazil and India, completely undermined.
Well, we got one more segment with Carlton. We're gonna talk. We did 2025. What is a preview of 2026? We got that coming up here in the Rational Revolution. Stick around. Be right back. I'm